This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Regulators in Washington wish banks would stick to their knitting. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. When you think of banking, what do you think of? Maybe lending, but do you think of big stockpiles of metal? Do you think of banks owning large stakes in other companies as if bankers were private equity investors? There is news today that the Federal Reserve wants banks to rein in these activities. Philip Swagel is a professor of international economic policy at the University of Maryland School of Public Policy.
With commodities, there's an exception that essentially grandfathered in some banks, it's basically Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, to allow them to undertake certain commodity activities, you know, trading copper, things like that. And it's an anomaly that was in the news a couple of years ago. Those two firms have reduced the amount of that activity, but now the Fed is saying, let's not do it at all.
So holding huge chunks of metal in warehouses, maybe not for banking, at least according to these regulators. But there's another key piece of this that regulators seem to be concerned about. What's it called? Merchant banking.
That's right. And that's where banks take equity stakes in businesses. And, you know, not a financial business, but some other business. For example, it's been widely reported that Goldman Sachs has an equity stake in Uber. And, you know, that looks to have been very successful. And merchant banking is more on the line between what banks do and what people worry about, right? Banks make loans, and merchant banking is, instead of a loan, it's taking an equity position. So it's riskier, but it's still providing financing to businesses.
All right. The debate will continue of what is the proper role for a big bank. Philip Swagel at the University of Maryland, thank you.
Thanks, David. It's a pleasure.
I watched prices drop this morning after the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston told an audience today, quote, he could make a reasonable case for gradually raising interest rates. It's quite the late summer sport on financial markets, watching Fed governors with extra care. On Monday, a Fed governor noted for being reluctant to raise interest rates will speak in Chicago. Diane Swonk at DS Economics says if Lael Brainard sounds ready for higher rates, that's a big deal.
We have Governor Brainard, who is one of the more doves in Janet's inner circle. She's very strong international economist and has been very concerned and validated by her concerns in China. And what will be interesting to see is she's the first one within Janet Yellen's inner circle that could be a countervailing force to those who have said, we want to raise rates sooner rather than later. She's likely to say, let's hold on and sort of stick to this central bank view of sidelines is better than being in the middle of the race and we don't know what the rules of the road are.
The Fed will have an announcement on rates the week after next. A new court filing suggests that the former CEO of Volkswagen knew about the cheating software on his diesel cars 18 months before VW made its big admission. The filings obtained by the Wall Street Journal refer to a meeting about the cheating system. The meeting between VW boss Martin Winterkorn and the head of the big supplier Robert Bosch back in May of 2014. VW apparently had a code name for the system that turns off emission controls during normal driving. It was called the acoustic device. Yesterday it was Baltimore, Wednesday Vegas and Tampa, and who knows which city Uber Eats will roll into tomorrow. Restaurants work with Uber and a car drops off the food, and there's competition. DoorDash, Grubhub, Seamless, Postmates, these are changing the way restaurants do business. Marketplace's Rima Kreis reports.
Welcome to Squirrel.
About an hour ago, there was a long line snaking through this small LA restaurant, but I waited out the lunch rush to meet with Jessica Coslow, Squirrel's founder and chef. She shows me plates of ricotta toast, polenta with summer vegetables.
And a buckwheat and cactus pancake.
Topped with cocoa pudding and maple syrup. Kozlo opened her small white-tiled restaurant 5 years ago. And over the last couple,
we've seen a huge increase in the number of orders for to-go.
Big enough that they now make up about a quarter of Squirrel's business. And that's led to some interesting changes.
We started to get so many phone calls that none of our staff could answer the phone. And so we really needed to make one particular person the owner of the phone.
Kozlo's also had to rethink some foodier things, like how well her avocado toast or that polenta travel in the backseat of a car or the basket of a bike.
Instead of using market lettuce, we use bok choy that's hearty and can hold up on a journey.
Restaurants often don't have a say on who's making that journey. Some delivery services like Grubhub and Eat24 partner with restaurants and get paid a commission. Others just pick up food and deliver it for a fee. That can put a restaurant's reputation at risk. When a customer gets the wrong order or it's soggy, get ready for that nasty Yelp review.
Our stance at DoorDash is that, you know, we're responsible for everything.
Tony Hsu is CEO of DoorDash, a service that delivers food in 250 cities.
This is why we go to like 10 degrees of difficulty to figure out how to keep food warm, how to keep cold food cold, how to understand how long it takes to make stuff.
Charles Balilis owns two Greek restaurants named Souvla in San Francisco and is trying to maintain some control. He's pressured certain delivery services to stop listing Souvla on their apps.
They never sought after any sort of authorization to do any of this.
And he says sometimes they screw up the descriptions or change the prices.
I didn't want our guests to see an $11 pork sandwich when they dine in, and the next thing you know, that becomes a $14 pork sandwich when they're looking at it on a delivery menu.
So Balilis has partnered with one delivery service that won't raise his prices. He says delivery makes up about 15% of his restaurant, and in a crazy expensive city like San Francisco, that's business he can't afford to lose. I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.
And there's news. Google's artificial intelligence research team has made a radical advance in computer-generated speech. Comparison testing suggests the new method cuts the difference between real and synthesized speech in half. The technique needs a lot of computer power to pull this off. Maybe it's up to you and me to close the remaining gap with machines. Maybe all humans can now adopt a slightly computerish voice from now on. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.